Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Yes, let's do it.
All right, so...
You're back.
I'm back.
Yay.
It's a better episode without me. Good job. Pat on the head.
Well, I mean, I know how to do a show without you.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, Beardsley's a different beast.
Yes, I agree with
but that. But now that he is more engulfed in wrestling
there's
than
actually
he was,
an opinion or two
right,
stuck in there somewhere.
Right, he's got an actual, like, you know... A little bit of a background to kind of work off of now.
Right. Right. Okay.
So, yeah. There you go.
All right.
I'm glad you approve, yeah.
However, there's not really much to talk about this week.
No. I mean, I guess the first thing we can cover was something that happened, like, right after we finished recording. That was
the last time that we were.
Yeah, Ricardo Rodriguez has gotten let go.
Yeah.
From my understanding, it was mutual.
Mm-hmm.
Or not mutual, but, you know, Ricardo wanted out.
Yeah.
He said on Twitter that he missed wrestling, so...
Well, he was clearly destined for the announce table forever.
Right.
Like, that's where he seemed to be standard.
And now. He was not, you know, content with that, so, you know, good on him,
Good on him. He's one I'll definitely want to continue to follow.
Yeah, absolutely.
See where the road takes him.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Hopefully not TNA.
I don't know if TNA can pick up anybody right now.
Yeah, they're kind of they're picking up plenty of people. Like I hear they brought in Gene Snitsky and Ezekiel Jackson this week.
They brought Ezekiel. Okay.
Yeah, I saw like a short video where he was like wearing a hoodie because everyone in TNA wears a hoodie.
Yeah. All right.
A leather vest and a hoodie.
I mean, I just, you know, the six-sided thing interested me. The Hardy Boys reunite. I was like, all right, let's see what happens. And I was like, that. And I was like, nope, TNA Spike canceled.
Yeah.
You know, all but certain death. I was like, well, okay.
I mean, they could still survive without a TV deal.
They can still survive.
You know, and again, like, I feel like I mean, there's a lot of cable channels out there.
Yeah.
That I'm sure somebody will offer them some sort of TV deal. Might not be all that much. It probably won't be anywhere close to what they got with TNA.
Yeah.
But
here's the thing. Like, you know, I do Raw without fail every week.
Right.
I do almost zero SmackDown, but I know all the SmackDown highlights.
Yeah, you'll check out coverage.
Yeah, I'll check out coverage and watch the events that, by and large, the internet tells me to.
Right.
Pretty consistently on NXT.
Yeah.
Pretty consistently actually on Main Event, but that's because it's on the network.
Yeah.
And that's during the week on mute kind of thing.
Right.
And so, but as far as, like, non-WWE, there's a lot of, like, you know, dabbling and other stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing really committal, especially nothing on, like, I see their entire product basis, like I did with Raw.
Yeah.
And, like, TNA was the closest thing to that, but honestly just because it was the easiest. Because it's on TV.
Right. It's on TV here. Yeah.
It's on TV here. It's easy to watch. It's, you know, it can be found channel flipping.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, it's like I need to, I've been like looking at, you know, New Japan has started to like really pick up steam.
Right.
And I don't know if this is like me actually starting to actively look elsewhere or like there is more coverage of like now that TNA is, you know, very possibly at the end of their run, is something else, you know, going to step into that number two position.
Right.
You know, and so, I don't know, I was more or less curious as to, because I keep up with it all, I don't watch it all.
Right.
You know, and I think you're kind of in that same boat.
Yeah.
And then I follow specific people.
Yeah.
You know? Like, with Ricardo, I'm gonna, you know, wherever Ricardo gets up, I'm gonna try and see a couple of his matches.
Right.
Even if it's, you know, sort of like, when Batista left, I totally watched his MMA match.
That one match, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Speaking of, I guess this is a nice little transition. Guardians of the Galaxy came out.
Guardians of the Galaxy came out.
And holy crap, did it do amazing numbers.
It did.
And a lot of people are praising Batista's performance.
Yeah, you haven't seen
it. I haven't seen it yet, so we're not going to cover spoilers, so don't worry about that. Joel has seen it, and he tells me that Batista was amazing.
Without fail, Batista, like, going into it as, like, you know, a wrestling fan, there was this, like, tiny thing of being like, oh, people are going to make fun of Batista, and I'm going to smile like it doesn't hurt on the inside.
Right. You're like, huh, he's a dumb wrestler. Right.
And Batista was amazing.
Okay.
And just, like he... Not even like he had a good character and like there was a great stuff for him, because there was. He had a great character, there was great material in the script for him to work with. He really fit in well. But, like, Batista himself really brought it to the table.
Yeah.
Was amazing in that role. Just all around thrilling to see what he did. And it's just, I don't know, it's like, I wanted Batista to come back to Raw this week so I could cheer for him, because I was so, like, excited about Batista.
Yeah, and it was one of those things, like, yeah, like, if Batista came back, like, right now, I would cheer for him because I feel kind of bad. Like, I've said it before on the podcast, like, watching that new documentary, it's like, oh, God, he feels disappointed in us. Ah, crap, now I feel bad. All right, I won't boo you anymore, Batista. Please come back. Please come back. Yeah. And, you know, and from all, you know, all sides are that he is coming back, and it'll probably be his final run ever. Yeah. From what I understand, he wants a WrestleMania match against Triple H to be his final match.
Yeah?
From what I hear. So, I mean, I could get behind that.
I could get behind that for 31, especially.
Like, yeah, there'll be a big story behind it with them and their history. You know, Batista, it'll be his last hurrah, and it's on a big stage. Like, I could get behind it. The match might not be so great, but, I mean, it's more of a feel thing.
I mean, I'm riding a Batista high right now.
Right.
You know? And, you know, I liken it to riding The Rock right when he came back after, like, enjoying The Rock elsewhere and just... So it was just like, yeah, I forgave The Rock for a lot, for a really long time.
Right.
You know, it was like, leaving, you know, WrestleMania 27, like, no, it was good. It really worked out. It was okay. Good job. Because it's still WrestleMania. And I like wrestling.
Could your voice get any higher for that?
It's like coming out of Man of Steel. Being like, it's a Superman movie and I love Superman. And I like it.
Yeah, see, I didn't feel conflicted about Superman because I don't like Superman.
But man, like... I was so sure that Man of Steel was going to be amazing. Right. I was
because,
like,
you know, it had all the ingredients.
It did. I was just like...
Right.
I was very confident. It had Nolan and it had...
Snyder.
Snyder, whatever.
Okay. Never mind then.
But the trailer looked amazing.
Right.
And I will still stand by that is the best trailer that year. That was the best trailer to come out that year.
Yeah, I agree.
It was amazing.
Like, I honestly watching that and seeing, like, him go through the sky and, like, breaking the sound barrier. I don't know. Like, it did something inside of me. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't wait for this. And I don't like Superman.
Yeah. But that's how I felt, right? Maybe not so much WrestleMania 27, because I was pretty clear on my feelings towards WrestleMania 27.
Yeah, no.
But watching WrestleMania 27. But on The Rock, I was like, no, it's The Rock. You love The Rock.
Right.
The Rock is awesome in everything he does, remember?
Yeah.
And so, like, I wanted that Rock could do no wrong feeling that I had when I was 8. And, like, and I had it briefly, and I fought to keep it with myself, and it took a while to really be like, no, it's not great that The Rock's here right now.
And then you go to the 28, and you see the quality of the match, and you're like, yeah, it was a big moment, but that match, I mean, honestly, 28 was fine. 29 was the one that really sucked out loud for me.
29 didn't even suck, it just wasn't any better, and it was not the moment that it was at 28.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it wasn't that big thing that we were expecting it to be whenever it did happen.
And
the fans let them know that.
Yeah. And because I was so sure that the torch passing would happen at 28, it was like watching Brock break the streak. It was like that.
Yeah.
You know, there was something that wasn't a universal feeling, because there were a lot of people that thought that, you know, that Rock would keep it, and they were, you know, oh, it's in Miami, they're not going to have the Rock lose.
Yeah, see, that's the, like, I was thinking the same thing with you, and then, like, at the last minute, like, right when I was posting my roundtable predictions on Pulse, like, right, that's when I had that twinge of a thought, like, they're in Miami. The Rock, like, they gave the guy a freaking birthday party, and even Cena, they don't give him a birthday party. Like, they'll save that for, like, when Raw goes off the air,
yeah,
stuff like that. But they gave Rock a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
just because they're in Miami the same day.
Yeah.
Well, then that's when I changed it to I predicted Rock winning.
Yeah.
But again, like, it was a last minute thought.
No, to me, there was never a doubt in my mind. This is the torch passing it.
It was supposed to, yeah.
And here, it should have been. Like, I was right and they were wrong. I still feel that way.
No. But yeah, the pacing and the way everything felt, that's what it should what should happen. They could have, I would have gladly seen a rematch, I guess, yeah. the next year if they really wanted to do that.
Well, no, here's the thing is, like, I was shocked when The Rock won. And I was like, I was totally nuts. I was like, okay, where do they go from here? Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is like, okay.
Yeah, Cena was going to...
Let's do it again next year.
Yeah, Cena was going to, tread water for another year.
Yeah, I mean, there's, I feel like you could have, Brock Lesnar, and so we should bring that. But, have The Rock one more pay-per-view, or have, or even just, a SummerSlam rematch or whatever. Like, I don't really care what it is, but not what you did.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I don't even think that the 29 match was that awful. It wasn't as good as the 28 match.
Mm-hmm.
And, even just as a standpoint, the 28 match was better, and I was already so done with this, with watching the storyline, and being grumpy that, still grumpy that Punk's streak had to end so that this storyline could happen.
Right.
And so...
And you're pissed at that it was, build it once in a lifetime, and clearly that was not the case.
Yeah, that bothered me too.
We care very much about stuff like that. You're gonna say something, you.
Whoa, you came close.
I came so close.
You came close.
I did. This is what happens when we watch Raw with Beardsley. A lot of F-bombs get dropped.
You came so close, but it's, I don't know. So that's, and again, if The Rock came back tonight, I would bug out. Because The Rock's not going to love The Rock.
That moment.
I flipped when he came out at WrestleMania 30, because WrestleMania 30 was fun.
Yeah.
And so, I want to watch WrestleMania 30 again. That's a total side note.
Honestly, I just did, a couple days ago. Still fantastic.
Yeah. So.
I might agree with you that might be the best WrestleMania.
Best WrestleMania of all time. Like the more, I think the farther away I get from it, more that feels... solidified to me.
Like, the Daniel Bryan story alone was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Even the story that they told in that one night. You had the fantastic moment of Cesaro winning the armbar match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Undertaker streak being broken. And that match wasn't great, but still, that moment is huge.
Yeah.
Like, you could feel, the energy just being crushed in that moment,
mm-hmm.
and then just the realization of it, and then just everyone's reaction to it. Like, I don't think we've gotten any kind of reaction like that probably since the Montreal Screwjob.
No. And I don't know what could do it. Like
that is the most stunned silence I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And then followed with by boos, and then the countless number of shocked looks on people's faces.
Well, that's the thing.
You can see people's childhoods being ripped away from them in that moment.
Well, people have been a 21-year-old man who grew up watching The Undertaker win time and time again. That I very much believe that, him losing to Brock Lesnar marks the end of childhood for some people.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say, there's been a Star Wars movie every 3 years for my entire childhood.
Yeah.
Because when the special editions came out, and then the prequels, and then I was starting to scrape and then the animated movie. It was still a movie in theaters. I saw Star Wars in theaters.
Right.
And so, but then it's...
But then after that...
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
And so...
Until now.
Until
next year.
And that's, that's 2008, 2014.
Right.
So we're starting to get a stretch. Yeah. And I was well, Phantom Menace was in 3D in theaters.
And then they scrapped doing the 3D for 2 and 3 and all the rest of them, which is fine, because I'm not impressed by Phantom Menace in 3D.
Well, we can get into a whole tangent.
I know.
But, why did I start?
I don't know.
I started this with Rest. Oh, yeah, Undertaker. But part of that Undertaker moment was the feeling like everybody went through this. I've just seen the worst botch. In the history of wrestling, because it happened at WrestleMania, and it broke the streak. A botch broke the streak, and that's, right. you know, this, like, that's kind of been in the back of your head.
Right.
Every, by the time the streak became because a thing.
Because there's this big pause where the only person that moves is Paul Heyman when he goes into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of freaks out. And then Brock kind of, he himself looks surprised at what he just did.
Yeah.
No music is being played. Everyone's just reacting.
Yeah.
And then his music plays. Like, so it was like, there's this moment where like, wait, did someone just screw up? Did the timekeeper just screw up? Or did the ref, like, accidentally call a three count?
Did the count come too fast? Right. Yeah.
And or is Undertaker that, you know, injured that he couldn't even get out of a three count legitimately?
Yeah.
So, but then you're like, okay, all that seems kind of ridiculous. Like, clearly that's the way they planned it.
Well, it just, it played off so well. Because that, like, that bled into, like, the replay. Like, we were talking about it and continuing this, yeah. like, what do you think happened? And I need to, like, I'm watching, you know, the replay, which was supposed to be like, let's watch this replay moment. I'm, like, looking in the background to be like, is Paul Heyman's reaction genuine, or is he, like, acting here? Did he know it was going to happen? You know.
I did, like, I've never seen that reaction out of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like, when he just has that, like, that moment, like, oh, holy crap. Like, he looks like a kid who just got away with, like, stealing every candy, mm-hmm. piece of candy in the candy store. And, you know, a cop coming by him, but just completely, like, not even looking at the kid, just keep walking by him. And you're like, oh, I'm really getting away with this, aren't I? You know? Like, that's the look he had.
Yeah.
And no, it's just amazing.
It's a good moment, and it's a good moment in a mm-hmm. good. And, like, and there's some things where, like, you know, watching old WrestleManias, I'm like, you know, this wrestler never really went anywhere, and that wrestler never really went anywhere. Yeah. And so I wonder about, like, you know, stuff like Swagger and Cesaro and that kind of stuff mm-hmm. where I'm like, maybe these guys, you know, 15, 20 years from now will not be, you know.
Right. May not even be in the company anymore.
Won't have made the Hall of Fame guarantee mark.
Right.
You know, like, there's guys who are like, that is a guaranteed Hall of Famer.
Right.
There's other guys like, that could go either way. And then there's right. guys like, that's not happening. Right. Unless they run out. I mean, you know, never say never on the Hall of Fame with everything else.
No. Gary. No. But I still, like, you know, obviously they'll have that moment forever. Like, that Cesaro moment is probably going to be, like, the highlight of his career for a long time,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless something, you know, he does something else beyond this. But I'm sure he will, but.
I mean, and you know, personal enjoyment of Cesaro, I want good things for him, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I you know, WrestleMania 30 was very much like, they played into anything that will give you chills. Like, mm-hmm. I still get chills every time I see Cesaro lift up Big Show, just out of nowhere. Like, they didn't really set it up or anything, it just kind of like, you know, it just happened, and it was over, and bam.
And it wasn't a thing where they were like, you know, Hogan didn't endorse Cesaro ahead of him, like, hey, no. Go lift the Big Show like I lifted on.
If anything, they were I thought they were really telegraphing Big Show winning.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they were telegraphing that weeks beforehand. And then Big Show comes out with, you know, the Andre style singlet.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, all right, now it's definitely. And he's like one of the few guys who gets his own. It was only him and Sheamus because they got individual entrances for that match.
But it was the kind of thing where it was like, It was shades of, so you saw it,
right.
You saw the shadows of that mm-hmm. moment being repeated. It's, I don't know, it's like, it was well acted, it was well shot, it was well choreographed, it was well orchestrated as a show, as an entire package.
And the greatest thing is that there wasn't anyone, like, hiding on the apron somewhere to get the win at the last minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why it was so great, because mm-hmm. it's overplayed, as we've talked.
It is overplayed. We talked about that with The Miz, where I want somebody to point it out, but that there's still somebody out there. Just get them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. You know what? I will even meet them halfway. That can happen in all the Battle Royales if it'll stop happening in the Royal Rumble.
Okay. Well, I mean, we really haven't had that since the Santino thing.
Yeah, and I know, but it's happened.
It has.
And it's happened before, and like, I'm basically not shooting for the moon here.
Right.
If we can, you know, get a couple hundred feet up in the air, I'll take it.
Right, yeah.
So, just not at the Royal Rumble. That's
okay.
That's a little more prestigious in my heart.
Right.
So.
If they make the armbar match a tradition at WrestleMania, I'll probably feel the same way about that. Like, yeah, let's if it's going to be prestigious, let's act like it's prestigious, mm-hmm. you know? But
so.
When you have, like, people like Vince McMahon winning for a Rumble, you're like, okay, yeah, let's not take this too seriously.
Yeah, no, that's the... you have to stick your fingers in your ears.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, the streak is...
And some things you have to just chalk up because attitude error.
Yeah. Well, the things of the day... What's his name? Gorilla that is one of the streak? People who didn't break the streak early on?
Because
he was disqualified?
You're talking about Giant Gonzalez.
Thank you, Giant Gonzalez.
He wore the skin painted onesie.
Yeah, the
or the muscle.
Mm-hmm, muscles.
Yeah, no, yeah. He didn't beat the streak because he was DQ'd.
And you just kind of have to like stick your fingers in your ear and go la 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 la. Streak's greatest thing of all time. La 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 la. Yeah,
they usually kind of glance over that one, and they also got to glance over the one against Big Boss Man where he hung Big Boss Man with a noose.
That technically happened after the match.
Yeah, but he still hung Big Boss Man.
Yeah. No, la, 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 and you have to la 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 for Vince winning the Royal Rumble and like to see the honor and the prestigious, you know, that happens.
Yeah, and also the big, you know, cluster bleep of that one WrestleMania where Batista and Cena accidentally
the Royal Rumble.
Or, yeah, the.
See, where, you where know.
They accidentally eliminated each other.
People poo poo on that, but, like, I think they covered that so well.
Okay.
Okay, no, so you know it's
there's
a botch.
A lot of things went wrong in that, like, brief span of time.
Okay, let's go ahead and bypass Vince hurting himself.
Okay. Because... I don't know if it's. And really, like, even when they restarted it, it was like, all right, I've got John Cena by the neck. And throw. Like, that's pretty much how the rest of the match went.
No, I know. But, like, you have a planned match. I can fully believe that at some point in the Royal Rumble history, mm-hmm. let's have a match where the final two, you know, touch the ground at the same time. What would we do with that?
Right.
So as soon as that would happen, my first thought would be, like, scripted shenanigans, not... You know,
and see, honestly, for the longest time, that's what I thought. I was like, that's how they planned it, because...
And they even, you know, they also...
How did they accidentally hit the ground at the same freaking time?
I know, that worked out really well in their favor. They even had the good fortune of having it be along the SmackDown Raw lines at a time that was important. So they, you know, could have the...
The SmackDown refs and the Raw refs arguing
with
each other.
Yeah, there was some stall time. And all that time, you know, live, you're like, this is exactly what's happening. What shenanigans?
Right.
You know, Vince coming down. Vince looks angry. The character Vince is angry.
Yeah.
This is all real things.
Right.
And so...
He's so angry that he has to sit down and delegate. Reaching for the stars there?
That's a little reaching.
Okay.
And so, it's something where you're like, you know... And part of that is the magic and the beauty of wrestling, where, you know, when something goes wrong, there is still that little bit like, did it go wrong? I don't know. It's not until later where you're like, oh, that went wrong.
Right.
You know, you get the shoot, or you get the book, or you get, you know, whatever it is. Or it just becomes clear that, you know, oh, that did go wrong.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, I think they did luck out in hitting the ground at the exact same time, or close enough to the exact same time that it was negligible.
Right.
And I think they played it off really well. I think it's... Honestly, you know, as much as that gets trumped down, it's like, look at Vince. Because, yeah, Vince hurt himself, and that's... Mm.
But so many things went wrong in, like, the span of, like, less than 5 minutes. Holy crap.
But, you know, I think it's...
And again, it was one of those things, like, both of those guys were in championship matches at WrestleMania, so it really didn't matter.
No, I mean, they could have, you know... Well, that's the thing. If...
Like, it's a tie, you know, and if, then they both win championship.
That's the thing. They also could have done it that way.
Yeah.
They also, you know... If the wrong guy had fallen out, it's, you know, it wasn't a thing where, like, Santino accidentally wins the Royal Rumble, where he's like, oh, we gotta put him on, okay, let's go ahead and have him lose that contract in a match on Raw.
Right.
So, that's the other thing, is, like, you have a weekly episodic television show, you can always fix everything.
Right.
You have time, you have 3 hours every week to fix it.
Pretty much.
Speaking of which, also want to mention, we did have, so we had a contract signing this week.
Yes.
For the Stephanie versus Brie Bella match.
Yeah.
Stephanie versus Brie Bella also ended the show, closed out the show last week.
Yeah.
That has made it the second time in a row that a Divas storyline has closed out Raw.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened before?
Not to my knowledge, but I, of course, am not the final say on, you know, historical stuff.
Yeah, like, I obviously, I've not gone digging through this.
And I'm probably not going to.
Well, I know that a Divas match has main evented Raw right. twice.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, the main event match was Heath Slater winning.
Right, but you always count the final segment as the main event.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, like, it's definitely the second week in a row, and I can't tell you if that's ever happened before, and I don't think it has.
I don't think it has. If anybody ever knows it's something.
But, if, you know.
You got 20 years to dig through.
Yeah, it shouldn't be taking that long, right?
It's just going to be 2 weeks in a row where a Divas segment
ended the show.
Yeah, ended the show. So, but
I'm assuming Eve doesn't count.
Bechdel test?
Maybe.
Like, can I throw that on it? That's a dangerous road to walk down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, because Eve's not really a Divas storyline. She was a, you know, I feel like it would have been something in Trish and Lita.
Right, yeah.
I mean, probably. You know, the time frame that I can think of where a Divas match would have.
Right.
Or maybe when, you know, Stephanie was more active in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So those.
Yeah, and it's kind of fitting that, you know, this is happening when a McMahon is involved in the storyline. You know?
Yeah.
Because, again, this is the female version of, you know, finally getting your hands on the, you know, the high member of authority that's been
making everyone's
life, you know, a living hell.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, Brie kind of just trudged through.
Mm-hmm.
She's not good at promos, I've decided.
I will say, though, she handled the CM Punk chant well.
Well, yeah, and the CM Punk chant died very quickly.
It did.
Like, that helped.
But I like that they can acknowledge it, like the, you know, just keep talking, it will go away.
She asked, like, okay.
I get why you do that at the beginning.
Right.
Because the crowd is ready, and, you know, now it's like, I don't know, I want to say I would be above chanting CM Punk if right. I were there. If the crowd was chanting CM Punk and I was in that crowd, I would be above this.
Unless someone in the ring or on camera or whatever was making a very overt reference to him,
mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't make it. Because it just seems out of place now.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
Like, even yelling at AJ is like, okay, yeah, she knows who it is. I promise you, she knows the guy.
Yeah. Okay, but we are supposed to chant yes for Brie Bella. We were supposed to be like, this is for your husband!
Well, yeah, but
he's, and AJ does this like, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Daniel Bryan is kind of, you know, one of their breadwinners right now. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a different story.
Okay, but, okay, I'm not saying you would start a CM Punk chant, because yeah. I wouldn't start a CM Punk chant, I'm there to enjoy the show. But if a CM Punk chant was going good and strong, would you join in? Or would you sit stoutly in your chair, refusing to chant CM Punk
with
the crowd?
And it was just spawned by randomness?
What if it was spawned by a bad match? What if it was one of those bad matches
where everyone's just chanting random stuff just to get this over with?
Yeah, we can't.
That's a different story.
We can't chant either guy's names. We can't chant you both suck. We can't chant anything that they'll spin into like, oh, this is positive heat.
If, and only if, they have already chanted for JBL, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, Mike Chioda, Mark Eaton, the Timekeeper, and the Ice Cream Guy.
And Macho Man Randy Savage.
And Macho Man, because, of course. If all, what is that, seven people have been chanted for?
In that order?
Not in that order. I'll give them a little leeway.
but if they only chant for six of them, I will sit.
Yes.
And not chant Punk along with the crowd.
Like, in that scenario, then, yeah, maybe I'll join in. But if it's just, like, random because they feel like it.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. There was not a great reason. You know, maybe you were trying to say, maybe crowd of Texas, you were trying to say that you did not care for this segment.
Well, see, what had happened,
in that case, I don't think that's really
They did the chant, like, right after Brie finished, listing off the names of all the people that Stephanie had recently screwed over. And then they started yelling CM Punk. And I'm like, I don't see how that's relevant, but I guess that's what they're reaching for.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really screwed by him because he's the one that left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't really give that to... I can't blame the authority as much as I want to, because underdogs and, you know...
But I would be willing to blame Brie for everything. You know why? Because she asked Stephanie, and I quote...
And you quote, you don't even know.
Shut up. What was it? Oh, God.
I don't know. You're quoting. You're quoting exactly. Like, you know exactly what it is.
I had it in my brain, and then you said you were saying words. And then it left my brain. Just keep talking. I'll find it because I tweeted it.
It wasn't a big deal. She didn't say something exactly correct. And
have you still, something like, have you still recovered or something like that?
I don't remember what exactly
are you still? She said, there you go. Are you still recovered? That came out of her mouth. And yeah, I'm not a big, like, grammar Nazi stickler for stuff like that. But that's basic effing English.
But it's...
Are you still recovered?
It's live. It's... Do you want to... With somebody with over 100 hours of recorded your voice on the internet, do you want to, like, take a stand on making a verbal flub?
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, if that happens, I will, like, immediately cop out... Cop to it. Cop. See, there you go.
There you go!
See?
You can't even do it right
I
now.
I speak like an idiot, and I will admit it. And when I do, I will tell you, I spoke like an idiot. Like, I was texting someone today, and I said, I began the sentence with, like, you'd, like, Y-O-U apostrophe D. Mm-hmm. And then later in the sentence, I said the word would. So basically, I said would twice in that freaking sentence. And I automatically, I was like, you know what? I'm an idiot for typing that sentence. Please disregard that text, and please do not think I'm an idiot, because I recognize that I made a huge mistake, and I'm terribly sorry.
But do you not get the basic, like, she can't break character at that moment and be like, excuse me, audience, I made a verbal flub. Please disregard that, and let me get back into only saying, using trash as the worst swear word that I can think of.
No. They've been saying the worst swear word they can think of, and they've been saying it over and over and over again.
I know, but they upped it to trash tonight. Like, that was the worst.
Well, yeah, because they got tired of editing the CH sound out of it for every replay. If I hear, like, you're gonna be my bitch one more time, I am going to be fucking crazy. Because the cuss sound is clearly the more... offensive syllable, I guess, or sound in that word. I mean,
I'm not gonna put an explicit tag on this episode.
Fine.
But it might. And you've come close. And then, like, we're pushing it this week.
It's like you can see where I was going just now. And you're like, how is Chris gonna screw this up?
Yep.
But I recovered. Yeah?
I'm just saying, you're like, dancing around in it, like, I mean, clearly, like, you've said
because
all the...
Because I'm the bad boy across the ring attire.
You've said all the syllables, so it could be edited into... Somebody could take this podcast and edit it out.
One kid who's never heard a single F word in his life, who's desperate to hear it, will absolutely piece together
never heard it, he won't know what it sounds like.
Well, he's like, I wonder what Chris is talking about. Well, he said the first part and the ing part, but then later he made the sound that goes in between the space, so let me just piece that together.
Modern day Sherlock. Da 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 da.
That's the link that someone would have to go to in order to justify an explicit tag for this podcast.
Remember when the show was about wrestling?
It's still about wrestling, but it's been kind of a slow freaking week, so we can get away with this stuff.
Here's
honestly, I saw Amazing Spider-Man 2 this week, and I've been really, like, holding myself back from talking about how terrible a freaking movie that is.
I haven't seen it yet, But I didn't go see it because I didn't like the first one. And I was like, I am. It was the thing. I was like, I am standing up. And I am not paying money this time. Because I will do that. I would be like, Transformers 1. That wasn't very good. Transformers 2. That wasn't very good. Here is my Transformers 3 money. Take it, good sir, whilst I watch this movie
I don't like. You didn't say anything about Transformers 4 with Marky Mark.
I have not seen Transformers 4. Because I have this is the summer.
Because in the trailer, he says, hey, you guys, I think I found a Transformer. Whackity schmackity do.
I'm saying, this is the summer. I have voted with my wallet.
Yes.
I have not seen Transformers 4. I have not seen Amazing Spider-Man. I will still watch them on DVD. Because
Yeah.
I got Hanging on the Street.
I didn't pay for it.
I'm not voting that much with my wallet. Right. So, once the Netflix are coming, I will be watching with eager anticipation. But no, but I was like, no, I took a stand of $9. Take that, Sony.
Yeah, it was bloody horrific.
Alright, I believe you.
I think I made a statement on Facebook that said Spider-Man is the Dane Cook of superheroes. I meant every word of it. I don't care about the Facebook hate that I got.
I think you did not specify this particular Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2. Because Spider-Man in the comics is amazing.
Okay, sure. Spider-Man. Okay. Movie Spider-Man.
Not even good. Oh, because Tobey Maguire is amazing.
The first one.
The first two.
Okay.
The third one as well. And then you go into the new Spider-Man.
He was supposed to be emo, and he was doing a Saturday Night Fever.
Oh my gosh, we need to do another Spider-Man. No, it's great. It's perfect. Spider-Man 3 is a great movie. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Spider-Man 3 is a great movie. You're not even making any wrong.
Because movies. You're wrong.
No, I'm not. It's a great movie.
Maybe I need to watch it again. I only saw it once.
Yeah, we'll watch Spider-Man 3, and I'll show you why it's this amazing movie. But otherwise, back to the point on hand. Well, actually, this is the point on hand. We have 7 matches for SummerSlam.
8.
We have 8 matches for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Why is there nothing to talk about?
I don't know.
Because there really is not. Like, you know.
I mean, you know, well, okay, there would be something to talk about if we were recording this on Tuesday, and you had watched, one of us had watched the Paul Heyman DVD.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, that's my fault because I'm leaving town
for the week. So I had to record this immediately after.
Right.
But herein lies my point.
Okay.
I blame Battleground.
You found a great way to tie this all back together. We were so far away from wrestling, and it just, that was masterful.
No, because I do, because so much of SummerSlam is Battleground regurgitation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's fine, I guess. I'm not, you know, I don't want to stand here and be like, one pay-per-view match per feud, because, no, that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of it, and when we even did this in Battleground, we spent all of our time filling into Battleground, being like, okay, so this is going to happen in Battleground, and this is what will happen until, you know, SummerSlam. And so all of my SummerSlam predictions for, like, you know, Bray and Jericho, and for Ziggler and Miz.
And for Ambrose and Rollins.
Yeah, that's all just like, all right, that's
exactly how we
cut paste. I could almost, if you couldn't have made it this night, I probably could have, like, pieced together audio clips from old episodes for pre-Battleground and, you know, Frankensteined an episode out of it.
You would be the kid that's the new
version. I would. And I would make you swear, the unlimited power that I have.
But yet you're the one that doesn't want us to having an explicit tag.
I mean, you don't want an explicit tag either.
Well, yeah, it's in a mutual agreement. Yes, I'm not, fine, whatever.
My point, okay, so here's my point. So, first of all, this could be an argument once again for too many pay-per-views. And I don't want it to be.
Okay.
Because I have the network now.
Okay.
And so
I am
no longer invested in, you guys have too many pay-per-views. Because the pay-per-views are event deals. And so I'm like, I want more weekly pay-per-views. Because I got them all.
Right.
So.
Great. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
But. So. Herein lies. I want new things for pay-per-views.
Right.
And. You know, want like 2-3 things. And I know that you have John Cena, Brock Lesnar, and that hasn't happened before. Ooh. But.
Right.
I knew it was coming, so it doesn't count.
Right.
You know? And it affected Battleground.
Yeah.
And we discussed it because an effective battleground.
Because we knew it was coming.
And, like...
And we knew who had to
win. Under some circumstances... This is a bad example, because it's your fault, because it completely leaked. You know?
Yeah.
You distributed posters for SummerSlam advertising that as your main event before Battleground happened.
Yeah.
That's your fault. I knew it. So, you know, there's other... In other scenarios, you could be like, oh, that's my fault, because I dug into dirt sheets. I knew, you know, when Brock was rumored to come back, heavy rumors saying that this was going to be the SummerSlam main event. And that affected, you know, my thoughts and opinions.
Right. Even if all that stuff didn't happen, you still could reach that conclusion, because SummerSlam has become, like, the Brock Lesnar showcase.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a pay-per-view that Brock Lesnar is going to be on. It's SummerSlam and WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you put that together with, well, what else is Brock Lesnar going to do? The last match he had, he beat the streak. And, you know, before that, he was just going on about how he wanted a championship opportunity. So, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah.
The only other conceivable argument is Paul Heyman takes a shot at owning the company with some sort of, you know, Brock Lesnar versus Triple H thing.
Right.
But I don't even want to put that in the universe, because I've seen me quite enough Brock Lesnar versus Triple H.
Right.
Thank you muchly.
Right. And, you know, what else is he going to do? Is there, like, a SummerSlam undefeated streak that we don't know about? You know, is he just going to come out and just defeat whoever that is?
There probably is. Like, Del Rio is probably, like, 3-0 or something. I don't know.
Daniel Bryan.
Is Daniel Bryan undefeated at SummerSlam?
I think so.
All right. Well,
I wouldn't know.
He can't wrestle this time.
No, he cannot.
I mean, he can wrestle. He's a wonderful wrestler. At this current moment.
We're talking, like, health-wise.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I don't know if I'm asking for the impossible here, and I might be, but how hard is it to do something crazy and off the wall for a mid-card match?
I'm guessing from their effort lately, probably incredibly impossible, you know? And see, here's the thing, like, here's what I would like them to do, because like you said, you know, the argument could be that they have too many pay-per-views, but you don't want that argument because that's a lazy argument for people to have, you know? I'm more like, what can they do to make the, you know, downswing pay-per-views more interesting?
Yeah.
You know, like, Battleground just felt like the pay-per-view between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam that wasn't needed because there usually wasn't a pay-per-view between those two shows.
Okay, I don't think you conscious of that, but are you making an argument for gimmicks?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm making an argument for gimmicks or just putting better effort in the storylines that are going into that particular pay-per-view. Like, whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be a gimmick.
But here's my thing.
Okay.
I feel like if I sit here and just say, brah, your storylines are bad, make better, it's lazy arguing.
Right.
You know, I'm like, well, here's what you did wrong with Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt. I feel like, you know, the subtleties of the, I don't have that.
Right.
Occasionally I'm like, this should happen, and it lays out beautifully in my mind, and you didn't do it, and boo.
I'm just feeling like it didn't feel like the effort was there for Battleground.
It did not.
You know, it's basically like, well, this is what we're going with SummerSlam, so we kind of got there early, so we're just going to roll with it and just kind of, like, have most of these storylines kind of, like, kill time before then.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Battleground felt like.
Well, that's
what I meant that way.
I mean, with Battleground specifically,
right.
Nothing concluded at Battleground.
No.
Nothing new has started.
No.
We are in a long period between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam.
Right.
I have at one point been grumpy about those gimmicky pay-per-views and stuff in so much as Hell in a Cell. I'm like, you know, you have to have a cell match. I'm like, that feud doesn't really justify a cell match, but you gotta do one because it's October.
Right.
And I've you know, poo-pooed on that in the past. But it's a thing that makes it not Raw.
Right.
You know? And Battleground was Raw on Sunday. I can't even complain, like, it was just a 3-hour Raw.
Right.
Because all Raws are 3-hour Raws now. I used to be able to make that complaint. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, swing all the way the other way and be like, every pay-per-view that's not Mania or Survivor Series or SummerSlam should be a gimmick.
Right.
Because I think that's too much in the other direction. But yes, while you just sit here and be like, storylines need to be better, I think that, you know, having gimmick pay-per-views is a crutch for that.
Right.
But it's not automatically a bad crutch.
Right.
You know, it's a starting point. It's a stepping stone for that kind of thing. That being said, Night of Champions is still dumb and not a real gimmick.
I was wondering how long it would take for you to start talking about how terrible Night of Champions is, because it's around the corner.
I know. And I will try really hard not to...
Not to pull the trigger on that rant just yet.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't have, you know, I'm like, here's the missing gimmick, because the only gimmick, quote-unquote gimmick, that, like, I can think of is the War Games 3 ring
right.
kind of thing that I haven't seen in a long time. You know, like, and then we get into Inferno matches for everything, and that would, matches, or, you know.
Yeah, you want to be careful with that, because, you know. You start walking that line, and the next thing you know, you got ambulance matches.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with quote-unquote gimmick matches, you know. They're going to be like, Extreme Rules matches, you know, for one pay-per-view, and then No Holds Barred matches for the next pay-per-view. I'm like, that's the same match.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then I'll have to make that rant.
Right.
Because
if you think about it, an ambulance match is just a casket match.
Yeah.
It's just a different object to put someone in.
Yeah. And a stretcher match is depressingly similar.
No, a stretcher match is like a potato sack race. It literally, like, here, you have to put this across this starting line.
Forced potato sackery.
There you go. Unwilling potato sacking.
Anyway.
We need to, like, once we get out of, like, SummerSlam and, like, that, and we kind of cover all that, that next podcast, we need to start with, like, and now, Joel's yearly Night of Champions rant. Just get it out of your system, like, right then and there.
Okay, fair enough. But the Battleground problem in particular,
mm-hmm.
and I think it stemmed, it blossomed into this perfect example of what is wrong with the filler generic pay-per-view.
Right.
With Battleground, because up until now, it had been Money in the Bank, and then SummerSlam. And that was the mentality that we had. I feel like that's the mentality that they had.
Yeah.
Especially booking these stories, Money in the Bank to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And so, it doesn't even have, you know, gimmick is one option. I'm not saying, like, there was no Battleground gimmick, cannot, you know, pass. Something, you know what your main event stuff is.
Yeah.
And as, you know, much as I would be like, you know, sit here and, like, throw stuff over the wall and go, what if this happened in the main event, or this crazy thing, or, you know, whatever, I understand you have a main event scene, you're not going to touch it, you're going to play it safe, you're going to, you know, sell the t-shirts and do the right thing, you're going to do that. But you have this middle card. And just, I don't know, I don't have, like, a, this is what you didn't do, and if you had done this, I would be pleased.
Right.
And it's not even that you're not trying. I'm talking directly to WWE now. You just haven't fulfilled what I want. It's not that you're not trying, because there was something there with the Seth and Dean thing.
Right.
I was like, let's not have that. Let's have a total beatdown. Let's have a thing that leads out into the parking lot. Let's do something different. And like, oh, where does it go from here? And it was hampered beyond repair with, well, this feels like a SummerSlam match. I'm just going to wait till SummerSlam before the real match happens.
Right.
You know, with the Chris Jericho thing, you know, it's like, well, that's lovely that he won, but he's here to put over Bray Wyatt, so we'll just wait to SummerSlam for this to write itself like we all know it's going to.
Right.
And so, we are sitting here now, stuck with talking about Spider-Man 3 and talking about, you know, all these other things, because there is no new storyline.
Right, because of the same thing that's kind of been, they've already been handing out to us at Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I think there has been a Divas storyline main eventing Raw mm-hmm. 2 weeks in a row, because this is the mm-hmm. this is the only thing that there is progress to be had in. There is this, like,
the only other
arrest
thing,
her 1 week,
yeah.
Rehire the next week, challenge to SummerSlam contract. You had, oh, this is how we can spread this out over three yeah. weeks. We cannot spread out Chris Jericho right. versus Bray Wyatt any further. I don't know what they're going to do next. Maybe he'll fight Eric.
Right. You know? Maybe, and then, you know, the only thing that would have been the main event would be something involving Cena, Lesnar, and Heyman, but all three of those guys were gone. They were yeah. they're not there.
Let's mention real quick the $9.99 situation.
Okay, I will let you tackle that because I have no positive things to say about that.
Actually, like Triple H did. Triple H kind of
okay. Yeah, thing. Triple H. You know, he went the old DX route. Like when they knew that they were overly pandering, they knew that they were really, really selling out right then and there. There's that.
You saw Shane, like, Triple H can work the crowd. Triple H right. can always work the crowd.
Like, they're a heel being obnoxious about something, and yet he still has the crowd chanting $9.99.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, I'll give him credit for that.
So,
I just think they kind of went overboard this week.
Like, oh. Do you think, I mean, you mentioned it was, you know, it's partially the network is about to go worldwide.
Yeah, it's about to go worldwide in a week, I think, on the 12th.
Yeah. Do you think that the numbers released, the network, not, you know, not, by and large, with stock market, network
honestly,
is being largely blamed for. WWE might be in a little bit of financial trouble. At the same time, I feel like, yeah, you say that, but, like, They basically have a monopoly on national wrestling.
Right.
Their closest competition is TNA. And that's right. not really like, you
and
know.
They have absolutely no online presence.
That's not even a B slot. That's like, WWE has the A slot and the B slot with SmackDown and NXT being in the B slot. TNA is like in the C minus slot.
Yeah. I would put them in the F block. But that's a whole other story.
Just in like ability to reach masses. TNA, right. TNA is, you know, their nearest competition is so far away, it's not even worth right. mentioning. For, you know.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like, regardless of how successful the network is, they probably would have been doing this already because of them on the verge of going global.
Yeah.
And honestly, I still feel like they're going to be fine once they go global. Like, I feel like they will make up a lot of money this way. Because I think they said 140 countries or something like that. I don't remember the numbers. But they're adding a lot more people to this. So I don't think they are in as big a trouble as people have been reporting. And if you think about it, I forget what the numbers are, but they talk about like how much money they're getting per pay-per-view now through their network, which they get, you know, the larger majority or percentage of the monthly subscription per pay-per-view or whatever, and that whenever someone buys the pay-per-view through their cable provider, they get roughly like half maybe.
Yeah.
And they're saying like they are making about the same profit that they would, you know, with pay-per-view. So they're doing fine that route. They're about doing the same. And I was reported that with all the cuts they had been making the past couple months, they don't need to hit that 1.5 million subscriber mark as they thought. They can get away with maybe hitting a million, maybe a million one or a million two.
Yeah. Well,
and they're at 700,000 right now.
Well, back in February when, you know, when we were talking about it, and it wasn't just us, it was comparing the network as the biggest gamble on WD since the first WrestleMania.
Right.
And, you know, that still might be true, might be the case, but the world of wrestling as a whole is so incredibly different.
Yeah.
If WrestleMania 1 had failed and WWF would have folded,
yeah,
they would have, you know, people would have turned anywhere else for the rest. Because they, Crockett would have been there, or, you know.
Right, because they had used up so much of their resources in putting that show together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would have taken out that company, and you would have turned anywhere else and gotten your wrestling anywhere else. Nowadays, if WWE fails here and has to completely scale back down to a fraction of the company that it once was, if it can no longer afford to have two network shows, if everything gets canceled, you know, like, this is like a terrible case scenario, falls down, it's like what I was saying before, like, where else do I turn with any ease of watching wrestling?
Right. Like, again, they could scale back all this way, and yet they're still way ahead of TNA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's a big risk as far as personal wealth.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was that big of a risk of them completely shutting their doors or anything like that. Like, no. It was never anything that dramatic. I don't know. I still think they're going to be fine. I think they'll get there with their network numbers. I think going global, especially when they go, I think they said they're hitting UK in October, maybe. I don't know what the holdup is there. But I feel like once they do that, they'll be fine. They'll hit their numbers where they need to, because this is these are countries where, you know, a lot of the content is a lot more limited over there from what they get. You know, they only get Raw and SmackDown. They don't even get any of the other shows or what have you. So yeah, it's one of those things, like, people, like, you know, they point at these numbers like, ah, see, it was a failure. It's all a failure. You know, they're gonna go under. This is gonna be the end of. They're overreacting.
Yeah.
Completely. Like.
I feel so.
Yeah.
All right.
So this has been your financial talk with Cross Reguitar.
Do you want to do a quick making us happy, then a mailbag, and then
yeah, you go ahead and you start with the making me happy.
What's making me happy wrestling the other day is a bit of dirt sheet news that entertained me oh so much in its ludicrousy that just
warmed my heart. Yeah, I know.
It was reported, I don't even remember what it was, who reported it initially, but it was reported.
It wasn't KFAB News.
It was not KFAB News. It was a genuine dirt sheet report that Sheamus had signed to star in Star Wars Episode 7 as Darth Vader.
Right.
And this was because Sheamus was spotted in Ireland.
Right.
I don't even know how close he was to where they are filming Star Wars 7.
Right. Because they just moved over to Ireland, like, fairly recently.
Yeah.
In their shooting schedule.
This is humorous for several reasons. And this, like, part of it, why this is so humorous, is it was a story that somehow got enough traction that Sheamus actually responded to it on Twitter, being like, no.
Right.
And then, like, so, and you fall into, like, Darth Vader's dead.
Right, so, yeah, there's that hurdle.
So, there's, you know, and so, yeah, maybe there is some, like, you know, flashback was like, oh, let's do have a little bit of, like, the Darth Vader suit walking around footage. But then, like, at best, Sheamus is in the suit.
Right.
James Earl Jones is still going to do that voice.
Clearly.
So, like, all the comments of, like, why is Darth Vader going to have an Irish accent? This won't fit the canon. I'm like, that's not. The original Darth Vader, David Prowse, was Scottish. So
he was.
Like, you can dig through YouTube and find, like, the actual raw footage of Darth Vader talking because in a Scottish accent. Because he recorded the line. He said the lines.
And that actor was very adamant of, like, I want it to be my voice. Like, you know, he's very, like, I'm going to deliver these lines through this mask. If it's the last thing I do. And then they're like, no.
You know, so, like, beyond the, like, why would they be like, Sheamus is our man to wear this suit. No other can wear this and do the suit of Darth Vader justice.
Right.
And so, like, you know, Hayden Christensen wore it.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
doesn't even need to be a big guy.
It doesn't need to be a big guy. Hayden Christensen wore it at the end of Episode 3, and that's why Darth Vader looked so scrawny whenever he was going, no! Yeah.
And I like that somebody was like, Sheamus, the Irish warrior of the WWE, Sheamus, is in Ireland. Why is this? Must be Star Wars related. That's because the only reason Sheamus would be in Ireland.
I mean, you know, they weren't on any tour, so they weren't on any sort of European tour at the time. It figured he's kind of busy most of the time during the week.
So, just to see, like...
He would look good in the suit, I will say that. Like, his physique, he would look
good. Yeah, really he would good look in good suit. In the suit.
And, like, some people were saying that he's done, like, promotional stuff on the side with Star Wars, dressed up as Darth Vader.
But
I don't know how true that is, but...
Any guy that, you know, has muscles would look great, and is tall, you know, would look great in the suit, and wouldn't be busy 5-6 nights a week doing house shows.
True. Although, they wouldn't have to do much makeup, because I'm pretty sure that's the color of what Vader was.
What Vader would look like whenever if they took the mask off.
He looked like Edward. So, or whatever. Yeah.
It was interesting to, like, read through the story and read through, like, the initial comments of people who were, like, instantly trying to explain why this was a terrible idea and why this was going to ruin Star Wars 7.
So. Trust me, there's plenty of things that could ruin it. Me and Joel have tirelessly lost so much time.
I don't think we can tirelessly lose sleep.
That's why I didn't say lose sleep. Mm-hmm. I said tirelessly lose time stressing about this.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. Bam. I almost put myself in a hole, but I dug myself out of it before I even got there.
No, I think you're pretty. You're just gonna dug sideways. I just have a lopsided hole that you're still in. Your turn.
Are you still recovered? That's gonna be my new line. What's making me happy this week? I'm going home visiting some family again. It's always, you know, good to do that. You know, kind of recharge the batteries for a bit. Working on new scripts. Hopefully that'll be fun. I haven't, you know, I kind of taken a little break from doing that, so I'm starting that up. I want to see Guardians of the Galaxy soon because Joel telling me how great it was like the message of affirmation that I needed to go see it and I will enjoy it.
Yeah.
Every person I've talked to basically was like, you know, this was like the very first time I saw Star Wars: A New Hope as a kid. And that's how I felt watching Guardians of the Galaxy. So, I've got very high hopes now. And I hope I haven't overbuilt it in my mind.
It's a pretty good movie.
Okay. Thank you. That's right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Alright, we're gonna start with a special one sent in from our OG fan, Mr. Nathan, all the way up in Canada. He wants to know, what's a timekeeper? he's been wondering that for a while, and he's been wanting to ask us that, but he finally got around to it. Joel, what's a timekeeper?
Do they not have timekeepers in Canada?
I don't know.
Do all their sports play until everybody wins fun to fun?
Oh, okay, what's a timekeeper in WWE?
Remember that one WrestleMania match that ended in a tie?
Yeah.
Timekeeper!
Because
it was a match with time limit.
That's right. That it was the only match that ended in a time limit at... Mm-hmm. at
yeah.
Right. There's that. Basically what... because if you haven't noticed... They never put time limits on matches anymore, unless it's like an Iron Man match or something like that.
Yeah.
So now, basically, all Mark Eaton does, and that's the real name of the timekeeper, I looked this up, he rings the bell to start mm-hmm. and end the match, and he throws Stone Cold beers.
He's officially the one responsible for throwing the Stone Cold beers?
Yeah, he's been the one with the golden arm, because he's made some pretty impressive throws.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good.
He's the one with the golden arm chucking beers at Stone Cold. At Stone Cold's request of throwing his hand up, be like, hey, beer me.
Well, good for him.
Good for him. He's expanded his responsibility.
I'm glad I know where those beers come from. That actually, like, really, like, answers a question I didn't know I had.
It was an interview. I was reading an interview, because I saw when Nathan sent that in, I kind of looked it up so I wouldn't sound like an idiot. And, yeah, he did an interview with Layfield Report and talked all about it.
All right.
So look that up, you lucky so-and-so.
The more you know.
Yeah, there you go. This comes from Rhett, and he wants us. to do this. The Guardians of the Galaxy were recast with all of the, or recast with all the cast having to be WWE superstars. Who would you choose? And yes, that means you have to recast Batista. Like, you have to recast Drax.
I mean, I don't, like...
I don't already know who Star-Lord would be. That would be Ziggler.
Yeah, fair enough. Yep, I'll take that.
Groot, a quiet big guy. Not really quiet, but a simple big guy? I don't know.
Kali?
No. I don't know. I do not want Kali in my Guardians of the Galaxy.
Here's the thing, like I don't want to, like, refuse your request, but, like, mm-hmm. I was so proud of Batista. I was so just, like, you know, and that was the thing. Again, like I said earlier on, I was so stressed, like, oh, Batista's gonna be the weak link, and he's right. Just gonna reaffirm all the jokes that people make about wrestling.
Right.
And just, I'm like, I'm so proud of Batista, I don't want to, like, take it away from him.
Yeah.
I just want to be like, good job, Batista.
Okay, so, Star-Lord Ziggler, Groot, Cesaro.
Okay.
What's the girl's name? In
Gamora?
Yes. Might as well make AJ.
Okay.
That. The raccoon? I'm not sure. I don't know.
The raccoon's like the only obvious one. That's like El Torito.
Oh. Okay. I'm assuming, well, you know, I'm assuming from what I heard that he was, you know, more of a, you know, kind of a smartass.
I mean, he's chatty, but he's also bouncy.
Okay, fine. I guess. Someone teach El Torito English, and then we'll go from there. Drax has to be a big guy with some personality. And honestly, I'm surprised that I'm going to say this, but I'm starting to become a fan of the tag team. I would have Ryback be Drax. All right. Because I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden he's becoming hilarious. If you, like, listen to, or if you watch his app interviews, like, either during or after Raw and SmackDown with him and Ryback and now Hornswoggle, they are amazing, and he plays a great, like, stone-faced straight guy in the comedic purpose. And from what I understand, that's kind of what Drax is doing. He takes everything very literally. He's very kind of stone-faced about a lot of it.
Well, I don't want to spoil this.
Don't ruin
for
it,
you.
Nothing for him.
But for those of you who have seen Guardians of the Galaxy, Triple H would play Gamora's father. That's the casting that would happen, and it would be perfect.
Okay.
The end.
All right. I mean, the actual Guardians of the Galaxy are, like, the only characters I really know about. I know there's Benicio del Toro's character.
You've seen him in the trailers, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him in the trailers, and he was at the very end of the post-credit scene from Thor 2.
Yeah.
So, I knew he was there. I don't know anything about his characters. I really wouldn't know.
It was so good.
Yeah. And, like, there's a couple other characters that I'm assuming show up at some point. So, yeah. So, you agree with my recasting?
Yeah,
coming from
sure.
the guy
yeah.
who hasn't seen it? I feel like the most obvious one would be Ziggler as Star-Lord.
That one's fair. And I would obviously have CM Punk reappear in the post-credits scene.
Okay. Now you're making me wonder about the post-credits scene.
You don't want me to tell you.
I know. I do not tell me. Do not tell me. But I am curious. But do not tell me. This comes from Neil. And he wants to know, when are we going to review that Scooby-Doo WrestleMania mystery, Joel?
You know what? You're right. We have fallen down on the job.
You have.
A Scooby-Doo WrestleMania mystery needs to be, and we won't do it because we will finally be
Joel will do it.
We will finally be in SummerSlam, like, we can talk about the card next week and make official predictions.
Yes.
And the week after that will be
post-SummerSlam stuff.
Yes. But,
and then we'll have a guest on.
But once we get into that, like, you know,
the only thing that we're looking forward to is, like, the slammies or something like that.
Yeah, like once we get into, like, the time around Night of Champions, and I can't complain about Night of Champions every week, we will together watch Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery, and we will together give a review of the Scooby-Doo WrestleMania DVD.
You really want an explicit tag on this podcast, don't you?
And it will be amazing. So, just, you're right, it has been a failing, and we will correct that.
I hate you. I hate Neil for saying that question. I hate WWE for even making this whole thing. I hate all of you for making me do this.
We need to watch this so that we know how to compare it to the Flintstones Go to WrestleMania movie that's coming out next year. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRAttire, where we'll live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays. Great fun's had by Hall. Join in, interact, have lots of fun.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, you can send that to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
That includes movies that you would like us to review.
I hate you all.
We are also on iTunes, still the easiest way to find us. Give us a rating of
5 stars, you jerks.
Or write a review. All that kind of stuff really helps out the show. One more thing, just click subscribe. Get new episodes every single time.
And if you are somehow listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there and guess we will hear from you. I don't care.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah, you jerks!